Christian health. How to be a healthy Christian. Now we've seen that the first thing that's necessary in physical health as well as spiritual health is the need of prayer. We have spent, I believe, 3 sessions on prayer. Prayer is quite an extensive subject. I remember one time speaking every night in the week on prayer. We want to continue our study on prayer. How to be a healthy believer? Our text is found in 3 John, verse 2. And this is a verse that I believe we do well to look at and to consider. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Now that's quite a statement. We're all able to get here. But suppose our physical health was the same or comparable to our spiritual health. How many of us would be here? And that's the issue. How to be a healthy Christian? We have seen that the first requisite is prayer. We have considered a number of things concerning prayer. And then next we want to consider, for whom should we pray? Who should we pray for? Story is told of a little boy, and he said his prayers that night. Bless mommy, bless daddy, bless my sister Mary, bless me, us 4 and no more. How should we pray? For whom should we pray? And you get some idea of that as we look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. For whom should we pray? First Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all. We're supposed to pray for all. Then he breaks it down for kings and for all that in authority. And I assure you, beloved, from my understanding and hearing of what's going on in the world leaders need our prayer. There's so much confusion. They don't seem to know what they're doing. There's so much contradiction among the leaders. They need our prayer. And that policeman that you see on the street there, he needs our prayer. He's one of the rulers and those in authority. And his job is a very dangerous job. I've had occasion to speak to police officers in New York City, and they tell me that there are occasions when they're just as frightened as we are. And one policeman said to me, if a man comes to me with a gun and says, put your hands up, I'm going to put my hands up. We need to pray for all in authority. That police officer out in the street, I often think of it. Sometimes they're called to a place. They don't know what the problem is. They go. And I know of cases where they had planned to hurt the policeman. Pray for those in authority. And those higher up in the scale. I'm sure you agree with me that they need our prayer. The president of this land, he needs prayer in the worst way. And the 2 that are running for the presidency, they need prayer very much. I listen to them, and they are telling you what they're going to do in their own might and in their own power. And then in the end, they say, God bless you all. He's been left out throughout their speech. And suddenly they, sometimes the most, what god are they calling on? They need our faith. For kings, all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and gravity. We need to pray for those in authority. All men, our fellow men, worldwide. Well, that's quite a chore, isn't it? Praying for all men, for all the ladies in the world. You could stay on your knees a few hours praying for them. But the Lord says we are to pray for those in authority. I know the tendency is to criticize them, and rightly so. But pray for them also. Pray for their souls' salvation. Kings and those in authority. And then in Ephesians 1 and 16, Cease not to give thanks for you, Paul says, making mention of you in my prayers. And then when you turn to chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And the saints need our prayer. From time to time I listen to the radio, other times I listen to the TV. What Bible teachers have to say. I thank the Lord for many of them. Now, we may not agree on all the details, but there are those that are getting the Word of God out. We need to pray for our brothers and our sisters. There is a tendency among some of us, well, he doesn't gather with us, so just leave him out. Don't leave him out. If he's a child of God, pray for him, and pray that what you see lacking in him may be corrected. And I like the latter part of the next part of the verse. He says, watching thereunto in verse 18, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and look at the next verse, and for me. I like that part. Now this is the Apostle Paul. And if he could say, pray for me, you know I need it. So whenever you pray, pray for me. That's biblical. It's right there. Paul needed it. And we all need to pray for one another. That utterance may be given me unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We need to pray for each other. All saints. Now, another thing that I think we do well to consider, to whom should we pray? To whom should we pray? And we have many examples of that. The Lord himself, in the Gospel of John, tells us whom we should pray to. Gospel of John, to whom should we pray? Chapter 15. Verse 16. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it. For you are to ask the Father. Now this differs from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they prayed to Jehovah. Nowhere in the New Testament do you find that we are advised to pray to Jehovah. We ought to pray to God our Father. A much closer and nearer and dearer relationship than the folks in the Old Testament had. Oh, they prayed to Jehovah. That was wonderful. Remember Elijah praying? Daniel prayed? They prayed to Jehovah. We pray to the same God, but we come as his children, and he is our Father. You pray to the Father. And that's a very dear relationship. You know, remember when you were children and you would come to your father and ask for something? A precious relationship. We have a dear and precious relationship with God the Father. We ought to pray to him. Chapter 16, please. Verse 23. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father I repeat, what a nearness, God as our Father. We go to him as children, Father. At least twice in the New Testament we are told that we have to approach God as Abba, Father. And you check with that Brother George here. That word Abba is a very precious word. Dear Father, that's what it means. It's an expression of affection. And when we pray, we are praying to our dear Father. Isn't that nice? Isn't that precious? We don't enter his presence afraid and upset. Dear Father. Then we are to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, in my name. Whatsoever should ask in my name. And you find that in many scriptures and in John in particular. In his name. Five times in the Gospel of John we are told, pray to the Father in his name. On his merit. For his sake. But to pray in his name, you've got to ask the things that go along with his name. The things that are worthy of his name. I know a brother in New York, and he said to another brother, I pray for you that something will happen to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do that. It doesn't work that way. If you're going to pray in his name, it must be worthy of him, in keeping with his attributes. To pray to Christ and not through him, no effect. We approach him, we approach the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And unless we pray in his name, we can't expect an answer. We are praying to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also find that there is a situation where the Holy Spirit is involved in our prayer. Romans chapter 8. Verses 26 through 28. We pray to the Father in the name of the Son. But the Holy Spirit is also involved in our prayer. Verse 26 of chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not how to pray as we ought. Have you ever found that yourself in that position? You don't know exactly, Lord, I don't know what to say. Have you ever found yourself in that position? That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that nice? When we come to the Lord, pray to God through the Son, and oftentimes we really don't know what to say. You have a number of sick people on the list. And sometimes you wonder, what should I really say? I don't know what to say about this person. You have unsaved relatives. Oh yes, God would have everybody saved. But exactly what shall I say about that particular relative? And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. But if we grieve the Spirit, we cannot expect Him to respond in that way. If we quench the Spirit, we cannot expect the Spirit to respond in that way. Romans 8 and 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now the Spirit of God abides in every believer. But He doesn't dwell in every believer. And that's not false teaching. The Spirit of God abides in every believer. But He only dwells when we give Him free choice. Somebody comes to your home and you say, make yourself at home, feel free, the house is yours. That's dwelling. Another person comes, you say, sit down there. He may be abiding in your house, but he's not dwelling. And it's the same way with the Holy Spirit. We must give Him freedom of action, freedom of action. Let Him fill us, as we get in Ephesians. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Then we can expect that He will act on our behalf when it comes to prayer, when it comes to even the teaching of the Word of God. It's as we are filled with the Spirit, full of the Spirit, under the control of the Spirit, that He is able to take up His duty, will I call it, on behalf of us in prayer. So that we find prayer is to the Father, in the name of the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now there are some other points about prayer. Reverence. When we pray to the Lord, we are to be reverent. One of the most annoying expressions that I hear from time to time, the man upstairs. God is not the man upstairs, and the Lord Jesus Christ is not the man upstairs. The Lord Jesus Christ is the man in the glory. That's what the Bible calls him, from the man upstairs. He's the man in the glory. And he is to be approached reverently. Romans 8 and 29. For whom He did foreknow, that's God the Father, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. The firstborn among many brethren. And therefore there are those who say, the Lord Jesus Christ is my older brother. He is not our older brother. He is the firstborn. It's not the question of when He was born. It's a question of state. He is the highest among brethren. And it's wonderful that He calls us His brothers. But that doesn't mean that He's His brother in the same sense that our natural brothers are. In terms of His elevation, He's far above any of us. And He consents to call us brethren. We therefore dare not call Him our older brother. That's totally out of order. we tend sometimes to become casual in the divine presence. We start to talk to God in a familiar way. He's our Father. And one thing that I find very annoying, it was done by that Pharisee in Luke chapter 18. Let's look at that. See how he addressed God. Verse 2, Luke 18. Reverence for God. Reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not our older brother. Verse 2, Luke 18. There was in a city a judge who feared not God nor regarded man. Do we have any judges like that today? Oh, a lot of them. Too many of them. Fear God and don't fear God and don't regard men. And there was a widow in that city. She came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Can we weary God? Can we weary God? No, we can't weary God. And there is another scripture, let me see. I thought it was 18, but it's not exactly what I want. You don't have to help me. All right, let's look at this. Thank you. Verse 9. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. There were a lot of those in the world today. Holier than thou. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God. That's no way to address God. That's not so. He's God. You don't just go in front of God. And yet on TV and radio, I've heard many worthy servants of the Lord address our heavenly Father just like that. God. There must be respect. I thank thee. Now, look what he's thankful for. I am not like other people. My. That's terrible. That's disgraceful. I think it was Moody who said when he saw a drunkard, there go I but for the grace of God. I'm no better than the next person. We are no better than the next person. But I'll tell you a little secret. We're better off. Not better, but better off than they. Respect when we call upon God. Not just God. He's our heavenly Father. As we get in what they call the Lord's Prayer, we can't go into that tonight. Our Father, who is in heaven. He's in heaven. He's not down here on earth. And is deserving of a certain amount of respect and reverence. I don't remember who the writer was. Lamb. Lamb said, if Shakespeare were to come into the room, I would rise and bow. If the Lord Jesus Christ were to come into the room, I'd get on my knees and bend my neck. That's it.
That's reverence.
And when we bow before our Heavenly Father, it is to be in that attitude. As a matter of fact, the word that we didn't go into, intercession, means praying for the next person. But then there is the other aspect that we read of there in 1 Timothy. Supplication.
Yes.
Supplication. You know, supplication comes from a Latin word meaning to bow and to bend. And when we as the creature come in the presence of the Creator, we should bend and bow. I suggest for your study the attitude of Elijah, Moses, and several men in the Old Testament when they came into the divine presence. They bowed low during the presence of deity. And we are not to take it lightly. Another thing that's of interest, the disciples never called the Lord Jesus by his ordinary name. They never addressed him as Jesus. They addressed him as Lord. More particularly is that true after the resurrection. Book of the Acts. And when we speak of our Lord, we should give him his correct title. I have to be careful how I speak, because he may report me to the authorities. But as ignoble as Mr. Person is, yet when we have to address him, we call him President. We should also be careful of how we address the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, God hath made that same Jesus who you crucified. You crucified Jesus. Lord has made him, what has God made him? Lord and Christ. What therefore is his complete title? Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he is. As we address him, as we speak of him, as we think of him, he's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not, I say again, the man upstairs. And there are those who disrespect God the Father. They treat him as an old grandfather whom they can manipulate and get whatever they want. God has no grandchildren. We are all children of God, and as children are to respect their parents, we are to respect God far. Time is almost up. We should be careful how we use the name of the Lord. On what occasions we use the name of the Lord. We are told in the book of Exodus that we are not to take the name of the Lord in vain. What does that mean? Anytime you use the name of the Lord in a manner that does not extol and exalt him, you've taken his name in vain. And so you hear people in their oaths and in their cursings, and they call the Lord. Oh, they use many expressions. For example, person's upset and said, doesn't it say gracious? That's wrong. That's an attribute of God. And other expressions that they use. And some we don't even know where the word comes from. Oh gosh. Look it up in the dictionary. It's a short word for God. They don't want to say God, so they say golly. And gosh. Let's be careful that we are respectful where the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. We're living in an age where people talk about freedom. I want freedom. I want to be loose. I want to be bound. And therefore they refer to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God the Father and to the Holy Spirit in a careless manner. Reverence belongs to the Lord. And that reminds me of another thing. I didn't plan to say this. Reverend so-and-so. And if you advance enough in the world, you become a right reverend. I don't know what's the stage above that. But reverend is his name. It's God's name, not man's name. And the story is told of a certain young lady. She approached a man of God and called him reverend. And he asked, why do you call me reverend? I'm not God. She said, well, it's my way of showing respect. You just call me brother. Sister. I remember years ago in New York, we had a fellow in fellowship there. He was what I would call a wise guy. He had all the answers. And one day he said to us, oh, you all just go around calling each other brother and sister. There's no justification for that. Oh, my. Acts chapter 9. Yes, oh, he was giving it to us. Going around brother and sister. That's just something you all made up, is it? Did we make it up? Acts chapter 9, did I say? Mm-hmm. Yes. Verse 17. Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hand on Paul, said, Brother Saul. That's our authority. When I speak of Brother George, that's scripture. But to call a man Reverend so-and-so, that's not scripture. Nope. Holy and reverend is God's name, not man's name. 8 o'clock. I usually go overtime. I'm going to stop on time tonight. I trust that we will seriously take this matter of prayer. Pray always to the Father. He's our Father. Through the Son. In the power of the Holy Spirit. And remember, if we're going to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and have Him explain to God and express to God things that we can't find words for, we must not grieve Him. We must not grieve the Spirit. And we must not quench the Spirit. When the Spirit leads us to do something, to say something, do it. Say it. Now the sisters won't know about this, but the brothers will. Oftentimes, even in the worship meeting, the Holy Spirit leads you to give out a certain hymn. And you don't give it out. And lo and behold, another brother gives it out. You have quenched the Spirit. But God will have His way, and He'll get that hymn sung in spite of us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we approach Thee through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit. We give Thee thanks for salvation. We give Thee thanks, Father, for Thy love to us in giving Thine own beloved Son for us. We thank Thee for Thy Word, for the Holy Spirit who guides and teaches us Thy Word. We think of the things that we have been studying tonight. The matter of prayer. Praying to Thee through the Lord in the power of the Spirit. May not always to pray. We've looked at that. May we profit from the studies that we have had and go on in the power of Thy Word and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, we think of those who are not here and not well. Thou art the God of all comfort. We ask Thee to please lay Thy hand upon them, comforting, consoling, and healing them. Dismiss us now with Thy holy blessing resting upon us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.